The legendary actor, John Wayne. Some of you may remember him. Some of you may not. We've got many generationally who are not familiar with John Wayne, but he is a legendary actor quoted as saying this: "Courage is being scared to death, but saddling up anyway." I really like that quote because it epitomizes what it means to truly have courage. It means that we all have an opportunity to be courageous, because I'm sure we've all experienced times when we have been afraid. Those moments when we experience our fears, yet choose to dig deeper within ourselves to find the strength to follow through on our commitments, those moments help us grow. And that is the calling of a Christian, is to overcome our fears. The admonition that we have to overcome the world requires that we have the courage to go against the popular norms of the society that we live in. It means having the courage to decline invitations to Christmas parties, to decline invitations to go on golf outings. I'm not a big golfer, so that's not a big deal for me, but certainly I've got cyclist friends who like to go out on Saturdays, and I've always got to decline those invitations. It means dedicating ourselves to getting to the feast when we have the capability within our physical constraints to do so. It means putting God first in everything, and that, in this world, takes courage. We've all had moments where we've had to overcome our fears, be courageous, stand up for what we believe in. And if we haven't, we aren't trying hard enough. I remember when I first came into the truth, and I was in my mid-20s, I was a small retail business owner and a bicycle shop with a partner. And we were open on Saturdays. It's a big business day, one of the biggest for us. And I had to find the courage to tell my business partner that I was no longer going to be able to uphold my end of the business on this big day of retail business on Saturday. I had to do it. There was no option for me. I told him that things would have to change. Eventually, that led to my departure from that business, essentially selling it, but really it wound up just turned out I walked away from it because our debts equaled our assets, interestingly. It was not an easy thing to do, but I knew that I had to do it. There was no other option. I didn't know exactly what I was going to be heading into. I was not quite certain of my career path at that point. There are moments when we become convicted of something, to take action in the way that God directs us. And many times following through on those convictions to do things the right way places us in a fear-invoking position. We've been there. We may feel that we have no choice but to do it this way. These situations are very uncomfortable. Yet, to sleep at night with a good conscience, and even more so, to face the judgment of Jesus Christ at our time of judgment, we know that in those situations, we have to do something. "I have to" is a phrase that we utter to ourselves, maybe out loud, maybe with more action behind it. I have to have a confrontation with somebody that I care about. I have to sacrifice something that I love. I have to state my beliefs to people who will abandon me when I tell them what I believe. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, because pleasing him requires placing ourselves in this uncomfortable position of being in opposition to the world. It also requires us to acknowledge the deadly consequences of failure if we choose to deny God, that is a fearful thing as well when we understand the truth. These are fearful things. Yet when we are faced with fear, we can have courage. Fortunately, we don't have to face those fears. We don't have to find all the courage within ourselves only. We have help. When we have to do something to live by the truth, we can be assured that God is right there, helping us, supporting us, and that He is working directly with us for the benefit of our personal growth in the direction that He has purposed for us. The process works like this. It starts with the Holy Spirit. It works with us. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 2, and I'll read verses 10 through 14. 1 Corinthians 2, beginning in verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. That is contrary to the world. For they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The godly way of understanding virtue and morality begins and ends with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what helps us discern right from wrong. When we have those moments of conviction where we know that we have to do something because the Holy Spirit is giving us that discernment, that is an indication that we have God working with us. The spirit of man, in contrast, is doomed to make up its own morality, which is why we see such moral decay today. The mind of Christ is what works within us to understand the truth and to give us those convictions. When we become convicted that we have to do something, usually something hard that requires some discomfort, it is evidence that the Holy Spirit is working with us. This is the fear of God at work in our lives, but we saddle up anyway. We dig deep, we find this courage, we find the strength. How do we do that, however, when we feel that we don't have the strength within ourselves alone? Well, that's where we have the other component in this equation, which is the strength of Christ. I'll quote one verse to you from Philippians 4:13. It states this: I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We don't have to have all the strength within ourselves. In fact, if we think we do have the strength within ourselves, we are utterly deceived. The strength of Christ is what helps us to face our fears, do those hard things when we know we have to do something. We do not have to do the hard things alone. We have the ability to take advantage of the strength of Jesus Christ by acknowledging our weakness and giving our burden to Jesus Christ. We put God to work, and He loves working in our lives, loves it. That relationship that we have with Him is something that He nurtures and He wants to develop. It's something that we need to develop a love for as well. We may not know the consequences of our actions to follow through on what we know is right. That's where we give it over to faith. We know that when we take action according to our convictions, discerned by the Holy Spirit, doing what is right, that He will bless us. I'd like to read a brief story. This is from Acts. I'm going to start in Acts 21 and beginning in verse 10. This is a story about Paul. Paul certainly was inspired by the Holy Spirit to follow through in what he was convicted in. Acts 21 and verse 10. Paul is traveling to Jerusalem. "And as we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. When he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and feet, and said, 'Thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles.' Now, when we heard these things, both we and those from that place pleaded with him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, 'What do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus.' So when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, 'The will of the Lord be done.'" Paul, even being warned through Agabus, who was inspired by the Holy Spirit, he still affirms his commitment because he knows he has to do this thing. He wasn't concerned about what would happen because he had a duty that he knew he had to fulfill. And sure enough, what happened in verse 33 of chapter 21? "Then the commander came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains, and he asked who he was and what he had done." Sure enough, just as predicted, what happens? Paul goes to Jerusalem and he is bound in chains. But he did it for a purpose. Turning over to Acts 23 and reading verse 11. He receives this reassurance, this encouragement. "But the following night, the Lord stood by him and said, 'Be of good cheer, Paul, for as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness at Rome.'" Good job, Paul. You followed through. You did what you were supposed to do, that hard thing that you had to do. Sometimes we just have to do those hard things. And when we do, we are actively fulfilling God's purpose for us in our lives. I'd like to read you another example from Hebrews 11, verses 17 and 18. This is about the faith of Abraham in his very definitive moment when he was leading up to sacrificing his son, Isaac. Hebrews 11, verse 17. "By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, 'In Isaac your seed shall be called,' concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense." Abraham fully trusted God. He knew that he had to do what he was instructed to do, and he did it. He didn't understand why. And he knew it would be very difficult, but he did it anyway. He had faith. And that is something that completes the equation. When we have spiritual discernment, when we rely on the strength of Jesus Christ, and we have faith that following through is going to produce the good results that God wants, we cannot fail. We cannot fail. Like Abraham, we are going to face difficult, even perplexing situations in our lives. And God does that on purpose. This is how we grow in our spiritual strength. We use God's strength in our lives. We seek it out. The Holy Spirit helps us to understand what we must do to please God. The strength of Christ helps us to follow through when we don't have the strength ourselves. And the faith of Christ working within us gives us strength and courage to follow through, knowing that our lives are in God's hands. We will undoubtedly have situations in our lives where we have to do something uncomfortable. But in that, we can have comfort knowing that we are not alone.